Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It has been a wonderful journey, Abby. Hope I didn't bore you. It's been about 6 or 7 weeks running. Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Alright, why the word of God or faith seems unproductive? Why the word of God or faith seems unproductive? And we have been dealing with this topic. We have looked at it different ways as the Holy Spirit has opened up our insight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4 verse 20. Mark chapter 4 verse 20. We have seen three parameters there. We have looked at what? We have looked at what? The sower, the seed, and what? And the soil. And we discovered that the soil is where we have issues. But now, last week, we started, no, 2 weeks ago, thereabout, we started dealing with the good soil. The good soil. We have looked at different kinds of, there are 4 types of soil there. But finally, the man got to the good soil. But now, let's look at this as we begin to round off this topic today. Mark chapter 4 verse 20. I read it from the 3 places where it appeared in the Bible. Mark chapter 4 verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23. Matthew 13 23. Matthew 13 23 says, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Interesting. Now let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. It says, "And the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold." Look at it, full stop. And when he had said this, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Interesting. Now, you know what? The wayside, the rock, the thorny soil, I don't have problem with them. Hallelujah. I don't. You know why? Because we already know they are problematic. We already know, very clear, that they are problematic. So we know the wayside. Bed came, no problem. Everything work on it. There is no challenge. We understand that it has a problem. Now, the rock, we understand that the rock didn't allow it to penetrate. There are challenges there. So no problem. Then we understood the one that was sown among thorns. The thorns choke it up. We understand the principle of choking. We have looked at it. We understand it. There is no problem. But you know where I have a concern? Is this good ground? Hallelujah. You know why? Because there are 3 parameters. The sower, we said it doesn't have any problem. The seed doesn't have any problem. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's an incorruptible seed. Then the soil. And we have seen the soil that have problem. But now, the Bible says this is the good soil. The same sower, the same good soil, the same seed, and God. So produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100. And you know, when we looked at it in the book of Luke, look, put it succinctly. Look at it. Luke said, "And he did what? And bear fruit and 100-fold." Full stop. Luke didn't talk about 60. Luke didn't talk about 30. Why? Because the plan of God, God cannot imagine how come he will sow seed on the good soil and it will bring 30 and 60. God, that is not the expectation of God. His expectation is to have 100. Full stop. But then, Matthew went and checked. Mark went and checked. And they discovered that not all of them brought forth the same yield on the same soil, the same manure, the same fertilization, the same humidity, the same air, the same moisture. What is the problem? That's what we want to look at. And I'm going to show you 5 things quickly that you need to understand. That even though you are the good soil, you can fail. Hallelujah. Because 30 over 100 is earth. 60 over 100 is what? Is what? B. Where A is possible, what are you doing? What happened? What happened? Hallelujah. What happened? The same class, the same lecturer, the same lecture attendance. Some people are having F, some people are having 30, some people are having 60, some people are having 100 in the same class. Hallelujah. I told you I did a course, and okay, I showed the result to people that follow me to Bible College now. You know, there was one course I had 96. So the next person to me had 53. And like that. So the lecturer said, okay, what we'll do is that let's add 30 marks. What's my own fault? So they left my own at 96. Hallelujah. So I asked, what did you add to my own mark? He said, where do you want to go? Is a possibility in the spirit. You can have 120 over 100. Hallelujah. But what are the parameters? What happened? Let's look at them. Hallelujah. So 30 is the realm of addition. Don't forget that. 60 is the realm of multiplication. But God's plan and purpose is 100. That is the realm of the exponential. That's the realm of exponential. And you need to know it. It's a possibility. The Bible says, and Isaac sowed in the land. Genesis chapter 26. And reaped 100-fold in the same year. Not in the next year. 100-fold. It didn't say 100% itself. It said 100-fold. 100 times 100. How did he do it? What are the parameters? What are the factors that affect our yield? That's what we want to look at. Number one is what I call insight and revelation. Insight and revelation. You have seed. But how come? What will determine how it will produce in your heart, in your life? That's what we are looking at now. Insight and revelation. That talks about the power of vision. The power of vision. Let's quickly see something from Genesis chapter 13. I read from 13. Verse 14. I read Genesis 13, 14. I'm reading to 17. You know, Mobenko was just in the spirit. Maybe she stole my note. I don't know. Hallelujah. But she must have connected with it in the spirit. Now, let me show you. Hallelujah. She has said it concerning Isaiah. Now, look at it. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Abraham. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully is the same thing that happened to Isaiah and Uzziah in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now, listen. It says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him. The Lord did not speak to Abraham before Lot left. God waited for Lot to leave because God did not expect Abraham to travel with Lot in the first place. Bible history. Why did Lot follow Abraham? Why was Lot so pompous? Why was Lot that arrogant? Do you know why? Hallelujah. In the Jewish culture, now, if you don't have a son, you are not counted as a real man. If you don't have a child, and especially a son. That's why when they have women, they still try to look for a son. You understand? But when they have, at least you should have a child to prove that you are a man. So, when the father of Lot died, Abraham took Lot everywhere they went to. Abraham presented Lot as his son. Are you following me? So that everybody will see him. And you know they resemble because of the blood flow. So that everybody that sees Abraham will say, yes, he's a good boy. He's a good man. He has a son. Hallelujah. He introduces him as his son. Logically, he's his son. Isn't it? But in the agenda of God, Lot was not part of it. But Abraham traveled with him. Now listen carefully. I'll show you something interesting now. He said, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Go on. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I'm sure you understand what we are talking about. If somebody said you are standing in Mina,
He says, look not what? And you say, I can see Maiduguri. Did you see it with your physical eyes? Hallelujah. Did you? No. If you look and you see Lagos, can you see with your physical eyes? No. If I said, look not what now. Let's go ahead. Follow me. And I will make thee, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Verse 17. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. So Abraham traveled and took Lot. If you start reading from Genesis chapter 13. 1-2, you discover that Abraham became rich and wealthy. And the Bible says in verse 4 and 5, it said, and Lot also that went with him, he became rich and wealthy. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, the land could no longer contain them. Why? He said, because the headsmen, you know, it's been long, we have been having headsmen issue. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the headsmen of Abraham and the headsmen of Lot started fighting. What kind of a stupid boy is that? You understand? He started rubbing shoulder with his father, fighting the land with his father. And you know, interesting thing, God didn't speak. God kept quiet and was looking at him. God didn't say anything. So one day, he went to his father, to Abraham. Can you imagine? He said, this land can no longer contain us. Hallelujah. He said, sir, I think we should separate. So that we go this way. Abraham said, no problem. You can go this way. I will go this way. He said, sir, he was telling Abraham that what? Abraham said what? He said, Abraham, go ahead. Abraham told him, go ahead and choose. Praise God. He said, you should go ahead and do what? And choose. Is that interesting? Very interesting. If it was you, who should choose first? Huh? The father. He said, no, Abraham said, go ahead and choose. And the Bible says, he looked and saw the plain of Sodom. Hey, up there. Beautiful place. He said, yes, I choose this direction. Abraham said, with all pleasure, go towards it. And then he migrated towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says, but the people of Sodom, we are sinful people. Hallelujah. But he went there. And you know how his life ended now? He went there and pitched there. And the Lord said to Abraham, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. You know, he moved towards the east. And God still told Abraham to look eastward. In other words, even what he asked, we come back to you. But now here is where I'm going. I'm talking about revelation this morning. Insight. What is the meaning of Lot? Have you ever studied it? Let me shock you. Lot means a veil. Lot means a covering. Lot means to wrap something around somebody's eyes. What a terrible name. All along, Abraham was walking in darkness because Lot was in his life. Can I prophesy? In the name of Jesus, every Lot that is not allowing you to see revelation, they are removed now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. This month you will see well. This month you will see well. Every lot is removed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lot. In Yoruba, you know the meaning of it in Yoruba? I want you to take a rock. The people that did not allow us to see far. As far as Abraham is concerned, he was holding on to him. He doesn't want his shame to be exposed in their culture. So everybody thought it was his son. So the day Lot was going, they thought he's settling his son. But lo and behold, his eyes have been covered. His ears were blocked. And the Bible says, the day Lot left, God showed up. Said, Abraham, Abraham, long time. I said, God, where have you been? And God said, it's you I should be asking. There was a covering for your eyes. There was a blockage on your ears. And you couldn't hear, you couldn't see. But we're talking about revelation this morning. Mark chapter 14 verse 38. Beautiful scripture. Mark chapter 14 verse 38. Watch ye and pray. Watch ye and pray. What is the meaning of that? Don't just pray.
watch, see. Have premonition. You know, people that follow me to the mountain, they understand it. When you are praying the spirit and you close your eyes, you should see. You should see. And the things that are revealed to you, you should write them down. Watch and pray. See. The Lord told him, Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I give to you. That's the reason why some people get 30-fold, why some people get 60, and why some people get 100 and abundance. What can you see? Do you understand that sometimes when you see people writing down their vision for the year, in the same church, under the same atmosphere, where somebody is believing God for a motorcycle, another person is believing God for a Bugatti, it's the same message, it's the same truth, it's the same seed. But what I see is different from what you see. Hallelujah! What is wrong? Our sight. You want to pray? Open your eyes. Not your physical eyes. The Lord said, look northward, look southward, look eastward, look westward. What you can see, I give you. You cannot have what you cannot behold. What you can't behold, you can't have. It's a law in the spirit. No man will give you what you can't see. You want a baby? See it. Hold it in the spirit. Take it by insight. When God was ready to change the story of Abraham, he said, now you have finished your fake life, Abraham. Abraham said, okay, so what do we do? And I said, I will change your name. And he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, the father of many nations. He changed his story. Every time you hear a word, it creates a picture. I do that experiment from time to time, even when I do my coaching. Hallelujah. For example, if I say your mother, what happened? Eh? In your heart, did you see M-O-T-H-E-R? Is that what you saw? When I said your mom, what did you see? You saw a flash, a picture of your mom. Am I correct? If I say red car, what do you see? Do you see R-E-D-C-A-R? No. You don't see a flash of probably the last red car you saw. Why? Because words create images. What you can see, you can behold. Let your vision and your imagination run wild. Let it run wild. If you want to go physically to UK, you want to go physically to America, you need a visa. You need passport, right? Hallelujah. But let me play a trick on you. How many people have seen Inside Book Queen Elizabeth before? You have seen the Queen, London Queen before? Eh? Now imagine you sitting with Queen Elizabeth eating lunch. How many people saw it in their spirit now? You saw it with your inner eyes. Did anybody collect visa from you? You limit yourself when you don't know how to use the power of your imagination. Genesis chapter 11. What happened? The Bible says God came down to build the tower that the children of Israel built to heaven. And the Lord said, nothing shall be withheld from them that they have imagined to do. Hey? God now says something. He said, go to, let us go down and scatter their language. Why? So that they will not build that tower to heaven. So it's possible to build the tower to heaven. Why? By the power of their imagination. They don't pay tax for that one. You can imagine anything. Cut a picture of a Bugatti and put it inside your room. Nobody will charge you for driving it. The last time you drove inside your dream, did the road safety stop you? Dream! Tell your neighbor, dream, my friend! And dream big. You understand? They do take them to a rent. That one, nobody can stop you there. Hallelujah. Nobody can stop your imagination. Number next. Why do people have 30, 60, 100? Number two, capacity. Is what I call what? Capacity. What you can accommodate. That's the meaning of capacity.
What can you accommodate? You know, we have talked about the power of vision. But then, what can you take? What can you handle? What do you have the capacity for? Now, let me show you. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke chapter 5,
verse 4.
Luke chapter 5. I read from verse 4. Now, listen carefully to what happened between Jesus and Peter by the seashore. I've shown you before. Look at it. It says, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, look out into the deep and let down what? Your nets for a drought. And let down your nets, plural, for a drought. Do you understand? Now let's move ahead. Underline or circle that net in your script, in your Bible. Now look at what happened in verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Singular. Interesting. That's capacity. Do you know many people have seen many people reduce their dream? They reduce their dream to their immediate capacity. They shrink their dream to their immediate capacity. You know, my father and the Lord, when they were building, and they were waiting and believing God for money to roof their structure. It's about 10,000 capacity. One day, some people came. They said, sir, this thing, there are three arms to it. There is one arm like this. There is one arm like this. There is another arm like this. That's three. He said, the reason why you don't have money to roof this thing is because this thing is too big. It's too bogus. He said, just this other place, collapse it. Collapse this side. It will be easier to roof this one or these two. He said, in fact, this one alone is like, is almost the biggest church in Mina. So if you can roof only this portion and start worshipping there, forget about this other one. He said, but I know what God showed me. His capacity. I was in a meeting with him. We welcomed somebody from America. A white man came. And the man came. So we had a meeting. About 7-8 of us. So we had a meeting with the team of this white man inside the church before it was roofed. I was there that day. So we held the meeting in the small church. After the small church, as it came out, the white man looked at it and said, wow, this is huge. He said, can we step inside? So we stepped inside. He said, wow, this is big. This is huge. I love it. When we roof this place, it will be wonderful. So when they left, daddy said, have you seen the difference between a white man and a black man now? The black man came. He said, that's demolish one side. So we can easily roof this place. That one came and said, this is beautiful. It's awesome. When we roof, his capacity. The Bible says, Peter let down net. What? We toiled all night and caught nothing. He's not saying we should let down the net. Man, he doesn't even understand. He doesn't understand the law of history. He doesn't know sonography. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. What? God wants to give you nets, harvest, but you are only letting down a net. That is a problem of capacity. That is why some have 30. Some have 60 and some have 100. What can you take? 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's do 2 Kings chapter 4. Because of time, let me jump to verse 5. You remember the story of this widow woman that met the prophet Elisha and a miracle broke out. Elisha told her, he said, madam, go and borrow vessels from your neighbor and start pouring oil from the small jar into those vessels. You remember that story? Sunday school, you remember? Hallelujah. Now, listen to what happened. The Bible says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. and she poured out. Now look at verse 6. And it came to pass, when the vessels that she had in the house were full, that she said unto herself, bring me yet a vessel. Are you following me? Bring me yet a vessel. Because all these ones we borrowed, is they are all filled. Abi, look at what happened next. And the son said unto her, there is not a vessel more. Please give me New King James. Sometimes, New King James, sometimes that old King James, it is well with them. Now look at it. He said, now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased.
Wow.
What does that tell you? If there is another vessel, the flow continues. Very simple. Hallelujah. Why are you reducing your dreams? Why are you reducing your vision? So I want to build a duplex. And you started it. And somebody just came and said, what are you building a duplex for? In fact, the way the house is now, if you just roof it, you can move in. Hallelujah. And then you look at it. And it's true.
Many of you, during my mom's burial, you followed us to our house in Lorraine, right? Praise the Lord. Where we did the burial, you remember? Praise the Lord. That house, the desire, I have it. It was a duplex.
But one of my father's friend, one day, just said, Sam, this one that you are just struggling, you are still looking for money. The money you will use to raise the block off is enough to roof it. The dining, that's where the step staircase was supposed to be. We converted it to dining. They just moved it. I said, to God be the glory. You know, every time I remember that story now, then we were excited. Because the house has been there for years. So finally we roofed it. But you know what? It's a problem of capacity. God said, build me 10-story building. You build 3, the whole world is clapping for you, and you are raising shoulder. You will explain when you get to heaven. God is giving you, bringing capacity of 100 for you. Fishes to fill your nets. You are coming with what? With a net. They are giving you an ocean. And you are going there with a teaspoon. Are you mad? Can you explain it? That this ocean belongs to you. And then you woke up and said, just get me a teacup. To an ocean. I will go and do drainage. Are you correct in the news at all? Do you know the latest project of Dubai? Have you seen that? Who saw it? The latest project of Dubai. Have you seen it? That project is costing the government of Dubai $100 million. Guess what they want to do? They went to Iceland, to Antarctic, where they have ice. They are breaking big rocks of ice and dragging it from there to Dubai to solve the problem of pure water to drink. They are using ship, heavy-duty ocean liners, to drag ice to Dubai. And you know Dubai is very hot. So they believe it. By the time they bring it there, the ice will start what? Melting. And it will solve the problem of pure water for them for a long time to come. As the ice keeps melting, they will keep melting it and they will start having water. 100 million. Those are men with capacity. Those are men with vision. Only one way, their head is correct. What a government. Why are you laughing now? Let me go ahead before the people speak. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number 3. When you sow sparingly. That's number three. When you sow sparingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. The Bible says, but I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Are you following? Now, can I have it in the NLT? Was it NLT? Oh, okay, you don't have CEV, right? Let's see NLT. Remember this, a farmer, beautiful, this is it, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Look at it. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. I always say it many times. I ask people, how long have you believed God? We are prayed. We stood in faith. But honestly, maybe God doesn't want to answer the prayer. Ha. Look, I don't ask them, for how long have you prayed? We tried, we fasted for 3 days. We will break it every 5 o'clock. Every day.
Yeah.
And you said, where the thing you are looking for is coming from, there are oppositions that don't want you to come forth. There is nothing God has promised you that the enemy will not bargain in the realm of the spirit. It will send discouragement. It will withhold. Don't you know the meaning of Satan? The word Satan means Satana Diabolos. The one that resists. The one that stands against. That's his name. You are going to see result in 3 days and you are crying. Who told you that you can't weary out the devil? You have prayed for 3 days. That is standing here. Are there miracles that come on the spot? Yes. Are there the ones the devil contend, especially the one that has to do with destiny? The devil fights it. And here you are. You are giving up so early. We had a miracle in my family. And you know, my wife's other sister called me because we had a discussion along that line. And my other sister said, do you know I was believing God for something? She was reminding me. I said, yes. He said, I prayed on that, for that matter, for 3 years before I met you. And we prayed together, and under a year, the Lord did it. I said, no, you prayed for 4 years. And you know, he said, do you know why I still went ahead and prayed for that last 1 year? I said, no. He said, because you said there is something you are praying for, and you have been praying for it for 5 years. He said, so that gave me the courage to go ahead to pray for it. And he said, less than a year, the miracle happened. She told me, she said, now I understand why God answered you the way he did. You have just believed God for 2 weeks. I said, this faith doesn't work. Who told you? Do you know the meaning of Jesus Christ starting ministry at the age of 30? Do you know the meaning? Have you asked yourself what he has been doing from the age of 0 to 30? One day you just see him on the street. Lazarus, come forth, and another came out. Go and ask for 30 years of preparation. Go and find out what has happened behind the scene. Go and find out. Go and find out. He spent 30 years prepared for 3.5 years ministry. If his ministry is supposed to be 10 years, when do you think he will have started? Probably the age of 60. Do you know when David was anointed? What age? 17. When did he get to the throne? 30. When did Joseph enter into captivity? 17, right? When did he become king? 30. Go and find out. So I'm talking about sparingly. Don't think that I want to collect offering from you. I'm telling you the depth of things that you need to do. I'm sure you have heard the story of the Chinese bamboo. The Chinese bamboo. When you plant the Chinese bamboo, hallelujah, the first year
you will not see anything. You will just be wetting it. You will just be wetting it. The second year, you will not see anything. The third year, you will not see anything. Toward the tail end of the third year, it will bring out a shoot. Boom! Like that of a corn. After 3 years of waiting, then you keep waiting it. Year four, it will increase. But at the dawn of the fifth year, the Chinese bamboo grows to 30 feet, taller than your Nepal pole, in 1 year. What was happening underground? It was building capacity, burrowing down. The Bible says when it touches roots downward, it bears fruits upwards. Show me your roots. What do you think the corn doesn't last? It doesn't fruit more than once, 30 fold, corn. Because when you plant it, the guy bring out all his teeth, all his roots outside like that. He doesn't take it down. So when he finished fruiting once, he said, I don't try. That's 30 fold. But is the mango like that? No. This is our mango tree. After 7 years, to God be the glory, he brought out one fruit. Hallelujah. What was he doing? That guy was digging deep. Was digging deep. When you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. He's in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It was late last year. I added Genesis 46, verse 1. Sorry, Psalm 45, verse 12. You remember? The daughters of Tyre. I added it to my prayer. The day it was exactly 1 year, I started receiving gifts. I was on the mountain, I started receiving a lot. That day, that it clocked 1 year, I was receiving heavy duty a lot. Surprise, unprecedented miracles. But how come did I confess? 1 year. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Holy Spirit, help me now. I want to finish this. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He said, one day, Jesus told his disciples a story. No, take it to King James. Don't be angry with King James now. Take it to King James. Look at it. He said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Look at what he said. That men ought how to pray. Always to pray and not to faint. Anytime you are trying to give up, anytime you feel the miracle is not happening, it is the time to pray. Men ought always to pray. Ought always to pray. And not faint. Anytime you feel like fainting, that means like giving up. Pray some more. Why? The miracle is by the corner and the enemy knows. When it looks as if it is dark, very dark, that tells you something. It is about to be what? To be the breaking of the day. The sun is about to shine. The devil knows it. But the problem is this. Many Christians don't know. So you give up before you get to the end of the tunnel. Put in your effort. Sow in the spirit. Pray concerning that matter. Fast. It is the same seed. I was ministering somewhere on Friday. I was telling them. I said, look. Kenneth Higgins did ministry for close to 60 years. When you call Kenneth Higgins to burial, come and raise the dead. Mark 11, 23 and 24. When you take Kenneth Higgins, we are doing wedding, and come and preach, Mark 11, 23 and 24. When Kenneth Higgins is believing God for money, Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know what a peace man. He doesn't even know another Bible. If I got born again, it is all his books and tapes that I used to read. I nearly said Kenneth Higgins 11, 23 and 24. Hallelujah. For almost 60 years. And he had miracles like never before. There is no other ministry where cancer has gotten healed like under that man. Kenneth Higgins. Mark 11, 23 and 24. When you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You won't compare yourself to somebody that is praying on the same matter. For the last 2 weeks is on it. Now you have prayed 2 minutes. You are expecting a miracle. It didn't show up in the next 3 minutes. So people will be threatening God. If you don't do it today, what will happen? You will destroy him.
Number four. It is the place. It's what I call application. Knowing what to do with what you have had. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23. We read it earlier. That is the place of what? Application. Look at it. It said, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. What is understanding? He comprehended. He knows what to do with the word. That's the place of application. Hallelujah. You know, there are some people, one area of their life is better than the other areas. Somebody said, failure in one, success in one area of life cannot compensate for failure in another. It cannot. It's the same word of God. If you apply it to your business, it will work. If you apply it to your finances, it will work. If you apply it to your ministry, it will work. If you apply it to your career, it will work. If you apply it to your academics, it will work. It's a problem of application when you don't have an understanding. I'm preaching to you now. There are people with different professions in the house currently. The way a banker is hearing me is different from the way an engineer should hear me. Hallelujah. It's the same seed, but the application differs. Don't be a Christian that we know is born again, spirit-filled, but very poor. What happened to the word? It's the same seed. It has the ability to enrich you. It has the ability to heal you. It has the ability to finance you. It's the same seed. So when you need the word, sow it. So some people, it's only 30% of their life that is balanced. Some people only 60%, but the plan of God is for 60% of 100% of your life to be balanced. Every area of your life should be happy. You should enjoy God all around. You should not lack. You should not beg. It's the same word. It can feed you. Jesus fed them. Jesus healed them, right? Jesus gave them revelation, right? Who was Jesus? The word. The seed. He called forth Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. Why? The same word. It's the same Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, his eyes open. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. Peter was broke. They arrested Peter. They wanted to lock Peter up. Peter was supposed to go to court and they would jail him. I'm sure you know. Peter needed finances to pay for tax. It was tax evasion. And they wanted to arrest Peter. Peter ran away. Abi, did Jesus provide money? He did. The same Jesus. The same word. Very interesting. Any area of your life can have balance. You can be fruitful hundredfold when you know how to apply the word. And finally, today, and on that note, is what I call patience. 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 Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Look at it. It says, but that on the good ground, now listen carefully, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And bring forth fruit with patience. How many people have plucked? You know, this guava is very deceptive. I'm sure you know. When it is very big and it is green, when you press it, you think, no, this thing is big. How many people have plucked it before? And you discover it was sour. You couldn't eat it. It's people in the house that belong to the cult that knows when it is ripe. Ask them before you pluck. Hallelujah. You know, you don't pluck it. You thought it was big and it was ripe. You don't bite it. And you throw it away. You can clean your mouth as if you didn't pluck anything. Hallelujah. What happened? There was no patience. You didn't allow it to be ripe. That is it. Now you have beaten it and you can no longer keep it back on the tree. You can't do anything to it. You throw it away. That is the problem of many Christians. They want to harvest their fruit too soon. Tell your neighbor, allow it to mature. Allow it to mature. Rise on your feet. I want to talk to God this morning. I said, Lord, now I have heard. I don't know why in any of these five areas that you have been violating that principle. But I want you to pray that, Lord, this morning I receive forgiveness. Many people are, they are running ahead of God. They are too in a hurry. Lack of patience has truncated it. Now you are having 30 fold when you could have waited to have 100. I want you to raise your voice as you begin to pray this morning. But Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I receive a heart that is qualified for the 100. From today, 100 fold in every area of my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, raise your voice quickly as you pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I receive grace this morning to receive 100 in every area of my life and destiny. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I decree nothing missing, nothing lacking. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. I receive grace for the 100. I receive grace for the 100. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace for the 100. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I will not miss my portion. In the name of Jesus, I will not miss my portion. I refuse to miss my portion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Masata Rikabazuta Librakedegede Bozita Prakalia. Masuta Librakalia Lekedegede Boza. In the mighty name of Jesus, Mazita Lebrakas Kata Prokede, Likaba Dekete Bozita, Rusata Prokalia, Mandre Boskente Preketiga de Bakajita de Gare Bakazuta, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Why don't I begin to pray? The Lord, from today, my 100 will not elude me. In the name of Jesus, it will produce fruit, 100 fruit, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I decree and declare that from today, I receive grace for my 100. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace for my 100. I receive grace for my 100. For today, in the mighty name of Jesus, my portion will not elude me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Father, this morning we receive grace. We receive grace for our 100. In every area and in any area where we might have been failing. Father, we receive forgiveness this morning in the name of Jesus. Our Lord, hold us by the hand. Take us to the place of the 100-fold. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That Father, from today, we will not sow sparingly. We receive grace to sow abundantly in the mighty name of Jesus. Every force that fights the harvest of a man, we silence you, we shut you down in our lives today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We step into abundance. Lord, we receive revelation for the multiple in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, have you been blessed?